740.
Blog Talk Radio.
Show reflection. We'll go into that a little bit later and let you know what that's all about. Right now, we're going to pretty much go into the end of the note.
Hello,
first,
girl.
That's why I was going to get out of there, bro. First, everybody,
well,
how y'all
girl.
Doing today?
Chilling, man. Good Sunday.
Good Sunday.
Ready
good
to reflect.
Good evening. Good evening. Hope everybody has enjoyed their weekend thus far. Ready to get into it.
We'll move right into the end of the note. This week, I was going through the NNO. I had a couple topics. Then I came on a topic that was so pressing that I decided, I hope y'all agree with me, but I decided to make it the total NNO.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's right.
So, I'll go right into it. Reportedly, TMZ has a recorded tape of Clippers owner Donald Sterling telling his girlfriend not to bring black people to his games,
mm-hmm.
to the L.A. Clippers game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this made such an uproar. Everybody except Donald Sterling seemed to have had a response since it came out. The NBA said it was investigating the report, posted on TMZ's website, calling the comments, disturbing and offensive. With that being said, I'm not going to even try to talk on it. I'm going to let you hear it for yourself.
Honey, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, too.
I wish I could change the skin, the color of my skin.
That isn't the issue. You missed the issue.
What's the issue?
The issue is we don't have to broadcast it.
I'm not broadcasting anything. I don't do anything wrong.
Nobody said you did anything wrong.
I don't do anything wrong. if we ever have any issues, it's because people call you and tell you things about me that are not true.
Why are you broadcasting?
I'm not broadcasting
anything. Why are you taking pictures with minorities? Why?
What's wrong with minorities? What's wrong with black people?
Nothing.
What's wrong with these families?
It's like talking to an enemy. There's nothing wrong with minorities. They're fabulous. Fabulous. Because you're an enemy to me.
Why?
Because you don't understand.
I don't understand what?
Nothing.
That racism still is alive?
No, but there's a culture.
What a culture?
People steal certain things. Hispanics steal certain things towards blacks. Blacks steal certain things towards other groups. It's been that way historically, and it will always be that way.
But it's not that way in my heart and in my mind.
But maybe you want to adjust to the world.
But why? If the world doesn't do anything for me and they don't make me happy.
You're right. I don't want to argue with you. I don't want to argue.
I can't be racist in my heart.
And that's good. I'm living in a culture, and I have to live within the culture. So that's the way it is. That's how I got it. I got the whole message. You live with your heart.
I don't... You're,
you can't be flexible. You can't...
I am flexible. I understand that that's the way you were raised and that's your culture, and I'm respectful and respectful.
Well, why do you have to disrespect them? Those that are...
Who am I disrespecting?
The world before you.
Why am I disrespecting them?
Well, what, by walking, you're perceived as either a Latina or a white girl. Why should you be walking publicly with black people? Why? Is there a benefit to you?
Is it a benefit to me? Does it matter if they're white or blue or yellow?
I guess that you don't know that. Maybe you're stupid. Maybe you don't know what people think of you. It does matter, yeah. It matters.
Do you know that I'm mixed?
No, I don't know.
You know that I'm mixed.
You told me you were going to remove those. You said, yes, I understand you. I mean, you change from day to day. Wow. So painful. Wow.
People call you and tell you that I have black people on my Instagram, and it bothers you.
Yeah, it bothers me a lot that you want to broadcast that you're associating with black people. You have to?
You associate with black people.
I'm not you, and you're not me. You're supposed to be a delicate white or a delicate Latina girl.
I'm a mixed girl.
Okay. Well, but we
and don't... you're in love with me. And I'm black and Mexican, whether you like it or not,
okay.
Whether the world accepts it or not. And you're asking me to remove something that's part of me and in my bloodstream because the world thinks different of me and you're afraid of what they're going to think because of your upbringing. You want me to have hate towards black people?
I don't want you to hate. That's what people do. They turn things around. I want you to love them privately in your whole life. Every day you could be with them. Every single day of your life.
But not in public?
But why publicize it on the Instagram and why bring it to my games?
Why bring the black people to the game?
I really don't want to discuss that anymore. It's over. I don't want to talk about it.
I'm sorry that you feel that way.
I feel that way so strongly, and it may cause our relationship to just break apart. And if it does, it does. It's better to break apart now than to break apart later.
I'm sorry that you still have people around you that are full of racism and hate in their hearts. I'm sorry that you're still racist in your heart. I'm sorry that you live in a world that still...
How about your whole life? Every day, you could do whatever you want. You could sleep with them, you could bring them in, you could do whatever you want. The little I ask you is not to promote it on that and not to bring them to my games.
I don't bring anyone to the game.
Okay, then. There's nothing to argue about it.
I know.
Okay, we got a big problem here. I really don't feel like going anywhere. I don't feel like going to Europe. I don't feel like just going to the whole thing. We got to pay it. If you didn't like someone that I was with, I would stop seeing that person.
I'm sorry, I don't have any more friends. What would you like me to do? Remove the skin color out of my skin?
Is that a real issue, or are you making something up?
I mean, I just don't understand what the issue is.
There's nothing wrong with you or your skin color. Why are you saying these things? To upset me?
Sweetie, I'm sorry.
I'm so sorry, too. We made a giant mistake, both of us. Everything you say to me is so painful. Do I want you to change the color of your skin? You know how to really hurt somebody. And instead of saying, I understand.
I don't understand how you can have so much hate towards minorities.
I don't have any hate. I love them.
I cannot understand.
Why would you say that?
How a person like you who's elevated, who's here, still feels above the world, and you can't even be seen with someone in which is considered of a different skin color.
They can be with me all day long and all night long.
I can't believe that a man who's educated, a man who's a scholar, a man who's...
Well, believe it and stop talking about it. Let's finish our discussion with a period, okay? You're not making any good points. You can't believe this man. That's all I am. I'm not a good person in your eyes. If I was a good person, you wouldn't say, I can't believe this. I can't believe that.
What am I
saying? But you're all lies. I love this.
Look at all this negativity coming from me.
There's no negativity. I love everybody. I'm just saying, in your lousy Instagrams, you don't have to have yourself with walking with black people. You don't have to. If you want to, do it.
If it's white people, it's okay? If it was Larry Bird, would it have made a difference?
You're just a big fighter. I can see. Who would want to live with a woman like you? Who would want to live with a woman? All you ever wanted to do was fight. You're a born fighter.
I'm sorry that you're mad.
You're in the worst mouth.
Why are you so angry, honey? What's wrong?
Well, why would you bring up Larry Bird? What has he got to do with it? You can walk all night long with your sisters or your family.
I saw someone I admire. I admire Magic Johnson.
Okay, good.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
He's made a lot of changes for his community, for the world, for the people, for the minorities. He's helped a lot of people.
Why are you forcing this down my throat? I'm finished talking to you. I have nothing more to say.
And I took a picture with someone I admire.
Good.
And he happens to be black, and I'm sorry.
I think it's nice that you admire him. I know him well, and he should be admired. And I'm just saying that it's too bad you can't admire him privately. And during your entire life, your whole life, admire him. Bring him here, feed him, him. I don't care. You can do anything. But don't put him on an Instagram so the world has to see, so they have to call me. And don't bring him into my games, okay?
I don't know him personally.
Please leave me alone. Please, please.
I'm sorry. Is there anything that I can do to make you feel better?
No, you could never make me feel better. You're just a fighter and you want to fight.
I'm sorry.
Wow.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, it wasn't funny, but...
To get the point across...
Please leave me alone.
I'm lost.
Yeah.
To get the point across, though, I had to play the audio. Now... My personal opinion on it, it's Master talking to Kizzy. You can be mine as long as it's behind closed doors. But if you're going to be with me out in the open, you're going to have to affiliate yourself the way my culture, as he continues to say. And what culture is he applying to?
The culture of the world. Let him say it. What he said.
This is the owner of the Los Angeles Clippers. His team is 95% African American.
But he did say, it's okay if I'm with him.
Yeah, not you.
Not you.
Yeah.
So now you have to look at it, well, me. I'm looking at it like, Is it more so you have an issue with her being seen with a black man? Or is it that you have her being seen in public with anybody besides you?
Mm.
Because when she made the point to Larry Bird, he didn't say, yeah, Larry Bird is fine. He stopped.
Because he already put his foot in his mouth. If he would have said, yeah, then that would have just, for me anyway,
solidified
the point that she was making.
He's going to the extent of saying, I don't like you doing this, and you can do it, just don't do it publicly. Don't publicize.
Right.
So he's going to the extent of letting you know that I don't like that he said you taking pictures with black people.
Mm-hmm.
But then if it was that much, if it was just about black people, why wouldn't you say, yeah, Larry Bird is fine?
I don't know. My issue is because he said black people, period. And then he continued to say, and he said, Magic Johnson, I know him well, but don't bring him to my games.
Yeah. Don't bring him to my games.
So I can go on forever with this, but I got to get into the feedback from it. This caused such an uproar. And I'm not sure if it would reach the extreme it did if our president wasn't an African-American. But he had a response. He said, President Barack Obama said, and I quote, it is incredibly offensive, racist statement. The president went on to say, I do not think I have to interpret those statements for you. They kind of speak for themselves. When ignorant folks want to advertise their ignorance, you don't really have to do anything. You just let them talk. And that's what happened here. End of quote. President of the United States of America.
See, I'm thinking back on what I just said, and I heard that. But I'm thinking back on my point that I was trying to make. It's okay for him to be taking pictures with his African-American players.
Because he's the owner.
Yes.
I have to deal with
these
that.
These are my property.
Yeah, they work
business.
For
this
I
is,
told
this
you.
This is business.
Slave owner talk with the kids.
This is
his girlfriend.
Right.
I forgot to point that out. This is his girlfriend. He has a wife that is of the Caucasian descent.
Oh, okay.
That's a whole nother show.
Yeah.
It is.
He's telling her, just like Kizzy was out with the slaves, he come get her when he got ready, but you don't tell nobody about us. But he's been broadcasting her. So now that you've broadcasted and it's known that you're supposed to be my link to me, you have to do like I do. Because you are a presentable Latino or white young girl. He never, mm-hmm. he wanted, she said, don't you know I'm half, I'm
yeah.
mixed?
Yeah.
He never even wanted to acknowledge that.
Yeah, because I don't see. When I look at you,
I don't see that.
No.
I'm saying if you
keep hanging with them, everybody going to know what I don't want to be known.
We're going to start associating her with black people.
Right.
He don't want that. Because right now, in his mind, she has no affiliation. She's not associated with him because she's part of me.
Right.
And I got people calling me, asking me,
right.
what is this about?
Yeah.
So
he ain't the only one.
There's a circle. He's a circle of people, powerful people.
Yeah.
Yes.
And she embarrassed him.
Yeah. There's many levels to this. It don't stop.
She embarrassed him. We're hanging out with our kind.
Yeah. To go on into it, Magic Johnson, a target of the comment, said he wouldn't attend any more Clippers games as long as Donald Sterling is the owner. I wouldn't see why it would if the man said don't come to the game.
Right.
But at the same time, you kind of giving in to it.
No.
I can buy a ticket.
Right.
I'm going to buy a ticket.
I go to the roughest neighborhood I can find, and I will buy every last one of those African-American people a ticket, and I'll bus them
to
your
game.
Are we feeding into what's been thriving him the whole time? Because we are the ones who playing for him. We are the ones who sitting in the seats to watch our kind play that he don't want to affiliate with.
Man, we are.
To boycott him, I think, to hurt him, would to be hit him in his pocket.
No, man.
He's using us for money.
He don't need that. He don't need that. Trust me, he don't need that. This is all gravy for him at this point. The man is the owner of a team, so he's good.
Yeah, he's a real estate.
At the end of the day, it's like this. We are profitable. He has a team of monkeys.
Mm.
Yeah. I understand what you're going with.
To compete in a league of monkeys.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just buying my stock to make my to keep my flow going.
Right.
I don't care about these monkeys. So there's nothing you can do to hurt him. Ain't nothing you can do to hurt him. You can't take what he already got. You can keep more from coming in, but will that hurt him?
So do you think that with that statement, does that make the new commission, let me check his name and make sure I'm calling it right. I don't even know if I have it, but the new commissioner of the NBA, does that put him in a position now where he has to do something?
What can you do?
He can suspend it. He can fine it. They honestly, if they came together, but this is the masses, because it happened before in baseball, the lady who owned the Cincinnati Reds, she made a couple of racist statements over the years. Eventually, she had to sell because they was like, we can't deal with this kind of business. At some point, because this made such a hoopla, I think something's going to happen. LeBron James, he said, you know, this is not acceptable. At this point, the commissioner needs to do something because this is Ali, and Ali is not made up of this. So my thing is, I don't know what they're going to do. The players are even talking about boycott. They had a meeting, 45-minute team, and they were supposed to boycott playing game four.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Sterling was not even show up to game four because of what's going on. So if he's in a point now where he can't even go to his team games, at some point they might be able to push him out the door. I wouldn't be upset.
How can you?
Because you know to buy a team, you have to get clearance.
Yeah.
You just don't say, I got the money, and they clear you. So it has to be a downfall.
They buy him out?
Or they push him out. The owners can get together and get him out probably. Probably just like any board.
Who's going to do that?
I mean, half of the owners probably in that
circle
of people.
I'm
inclined
to be the owners.
Might be the ones that call.
And I can't say anything. Because if I say anything and you know that I feel the same way, then now you can blow the whistle on me.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
You mean, it opened the door for a lot of stuff. It's interesting to see how it's going to open up.
How it plays out.
Yeah.
I mean, I would not feel in any kind of way sorry for him if his players decide to leave his team, not play the rest of the playoffs, you know, even though that's jeopardizing their own personal goals in life. I wouldn't be mad if you stop going to his games. I wouldn't be mad. He can have every team full of white people. I don't care.
Yeah.
That's your team. You want to do that? Go ahead. Have every player on your team white. See how many games you win.
This goes back to what I've said, and I'm going to continue to say. It's twisted, but it's a testament to the threat that black men are in this world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's how much of a threat that we are. Yeah, I don't. Why you got to do this in other people's seat?
Mm.
Why?
Yeah.
You can do it. Just don't let nobody else see you.
We was having a conversation. This is going to go off, but I was in the barbershop Saturday. And the barber brought to our attention that Medicare is welfare.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Social Security.
Mm-hmm.
All of it is government welfare.
Mm-hmm.
But food stamps is more publicized because it seems to be stuck with where it's proportioned. And what he was saying was basically like, because it's more Caucasians in the world than it is African Americans. Whatever we get in proportion wise, it looks bigger because you can zoom in on it. You can zoom in on that.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody's getting welfare. It's just ours that you want to point out. Why? Because we're a threat. As long as you can keep us down, you can keep us from being. If you go back, really, and this is going to go way off point. But if you go back and look at the whole foundation of the country, everything has been implemented to keep us down. Anytime we try to rise, it's something put there and a bar put there to hold us. And as long as they can hold us, we can never outthink them. If we come together as one, we are so powerful. That's why I believe what you say, T.
It's all about realizing. I don't even think it's so much to keep you down. It's just so that you never realize
what you
are.
Right? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because if you ever realize who you are, I've lost all power.
Yeah.
I have no more power over you.
And
we keep you
down. And we stay in that stage. And it's so much so till we go fight amongst each other because we don't bought into it.
That's the system.
Yeah.
That's the system.
Keep them entertained. Keep them in struggle, in conflict amongst themselves.
I mean, that goes back to the Willie Lynch prompt.
Yeah.
Premises.
Jim
Crow laws, all that, turn us against ourselves to keep ourselves down.
So, and it's worked. It has worked for years.
And it's going to continue to work until we stop allowing it.
Yeah.
They're not going to stop. letting that look like we might have a couple people want to comment on that.
This is a different end of note because we only have one topic. So I'm okay with letting these callers come in. Usually, we do not take calls during the end of note. But this is such a hot topic, we're going to go ahead and let them in. All right, 813. Live on the air, state your name. What's your comment?
813?
Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing all right.
What's going on?
Not much. What's going on with you?
I'm just listening to tell in on you, brothers. Y'all doing all right?
Yeah, doing good. Doing good. Did you have a comment or a statement about the...
I got a hell of a lot to say.
we listen.
Go ahead. Let it fly.
I'm almost scared. Do I get censored or what?
Hey,
it's grown folks conversation,
man.
There you go.
It's grown folks conversation. That's good. You know, one thing that really brought attention to me is when LeBron voiced his opinion. But was even bigger to me is when Michael Jordan spoke. Michael Jordan and Tiger Woods don't talk about nothing.
I was amazed when I heard
him and Tiger come out and talk. They might lynch this white man. I think that it happened so fast. It was hard for the players to get together and figure out what they really want to do. I think it just hit so fast. I think that's what happened to them in the game today, and that's the reason why they got handed the day. You could have put house money on Golden State today, and you'd have made a lot because they just got so much on their plate at the moment. Donald Sterling is no different than any other owner from any other franchise to me. It's just somebody recorded it.
Right.
That's the way I see it. You know, I'm gonna keep living just like I was living yesterday. I ain't gonna change my mindset. You know, so. Whatever the commissioner does, he's going to have to do it swiftly. He's going to have to. What really can you do when a guy owns a team that's worth probably what $700-800 million? It's kind of hard. It's going to be really hard, you know, especially been in his family for so long. The suffering will come to me. I hope that the Clippers win the NBA championship and he's not there when they host the trophy. That's what I want.
Yeah.
I want him to win the whole thing. I would like him to win the whole thing, and he can't even come to the ceremony. That would be my wish.
I think at this point, a lot of people probably feeling the same way. Yeah. Clippers just got a whole new fan base from this. You know what I'm saying? Especially from the black community, I know.
But do you think it's more so wanting to see success?
I think a lot of people, I've watched sports, and a lot of the outcry is mostly they should boycott. They wanted them to do something. But how do you tell a team that's played all 82 games of the season and four games into the playoffs, I'm just not going to play no more?
Right.
I mean, that's a lot of commitment.
Yeah, that really is.
I also understand the stance of the meeting, but it's a lot of commitment.
I think the caller was right. It just happened so fast, they really didn't even know how to react to it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Give them some time. And who knows what we might see. All right, we want to catch this next call?
Yeah.
213, you're on the air. What's your name? What's your comment?
What's happening, brothers? What's happening? I'm going to try to be real quick. This is Brother Vic. What's happening?
Vic.
What's going on, Vic?
Okay, now, this incident, it happened real swift. But from what I'm hearing from my sources, that you know, Elgin Baylor was used to be the president of basketball operations or something like that, and he tried to sue him on his way out of the, you know, but I haven't done any research into that. If y'all know anything about it, please speak on it. But the reason why I bring that up is because it happened swiftly, but a lot of people already know about this man. And like I said before, I'm from California. I'm from Inglewood. And I'm living in St. Petersburg now, but I'm from the home of the Clippers, you know. And I know their fan base, and I know, you know, I can know the chemistry of what's going on in the mix. You know what I'm saying? So That's not, you know, the Clippers probably have more Hispanic followers in the city of Los Angeles than anything else. I'm just kind of throwing this in there so the people who don't know can have a little bit more information, you know. So when they when they're speaking on all of this, they can see kind of beyond just what they're seeing on TV. And so now that I get past that part, I got one thing I want to say. This is nothing. All of the owners talk like this.
Yes,
all of them. I believe all of them talk like this. Okay? We're dealing with an issue of racism. And you got to look back in history. It wasn't long ago. Wasn't too long ago when they used to sell body parts from lynchings. That man's grandfather and his grandfather's father used to go to excursions where they would cut the big toe off. You see what I'm saying? And sell it and raffle it off. A nigga lynching over here, a nigga lynching over there. This was just a little ways ago. And what the man is saying is not that, I'm not saying it's not right or wrong or whatever, but I'm saying it shouldn't be that hard for people to understand. This is the way, unfortunately, I don't know the percentage, but a lot of white people think, brothers. And you know what the good thing about it is? In that evilness, you can see the love within our people because we are forgiving and a loving people. And when you look at how they act and how they treat us, it seems like we should be, you know, real hateful people. But we don't even want to say the truth and what the truth is because we don't want it to be like that. We've been trained to hate ourselves and not the ones who are separating us and destroying us. And I don't want to preach too much on it because I know y'all know what I'm trying to say. But on this note, I look at it as this. When you pull the covers back, you're going to see what's underneath the cover. Don't be surprised at what's under the cover. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's we should and one more thing before I go. Please let me say this real quick. I was asking one of my teachers, an older brother, many years ago. I said, I don't understand because when the brothers was trying to get reparations in L.A., they was going through these books and stuff, finding out where their people came from and where they were slaves and how these companies had turned into major corporations, and they was tracking all of this, right? And so I asked my boy, I said, man, teacher, tell me, why didn't they burn all of this? How can we you can find out where your parents came over from and all this and all that? He said, you know what? They want to know. They want to keep these records. It's trophies to them. When all of this came out to the press and all that, but before his people, it makes him look good to him. He's not embarrassed by it because they all feel the same way, brothers. And I'm gonna stop preaching, but I just had to get that out, man. Y'all holler at me. Tell me what you feel.
Appreciate you, Vic. Yeah, we appreciate that feedback, Vic. And I think we agree. I seen us shaking our heads. Some of us, we were shaking our heads as you were speaking. So we agree on most of the points you made. I mean, I totally agree on the thing about, you know, it's totally a generational thing. And it's nothing new under the sun. I think we all know it. A lot of people may have been caught off guard with this. I am not. I believe that I'm taken at times in the manner that I fit in. And I understand it. So I'm doing the same, though. Don't think you just taking me in the manner you want to take me in. I see you as who you are, too, but I'm taking you in that manner, too, in this moment. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's the kind of understanding that I think Vic is preaching. Like, we have to realize this ain't nothing new under the sun.
We have evolved so much as a culture, technology-wise, and spirituality and all these kind of things like that. We tend to underestimate, I think,
yeah,
the effect that racism still has on us as a culture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that, you know, our kids coming up behind us, maybe, you know, not our kids, but our nephew, nieces, maybe
mm-hmm.
even, maybe they not so much, you know, in tune with
right.
that, and so maybe they're caught off guard.
Right, right, right.
I think people, our generations and older, I laughed at this the first time I heard it. If he was stupid enough to let himself get recorded and put on blast, then that's your fault. I mean, but like Vic said, I guarantee he is not the only sports team owner. I'm not even going to just say
yeah.
NBA.
Yeah.
I guarantee he is not the only sports team owner that feels and thinks and talks that way when they improv it.
Oh yeah, and I mean I'm gonna go over the place, but that just brought something into my mind. Look at this Philadelphia thing with the Eagles. You get rid of Deshaun Jackson because you say he has affiliation with the Crips. You keep Riley Cooper, and he outright on videotape says the N-word.
Hmm.
Where's the justification in that? You know what I'm saying?
No justification. You ain't, this is my team.
Yeah. Right.
Exactly.
Right. And right. And I think that's where it comes back to. We have to realize this is what it is.
If I could, I'd
yeah.
like to borrow the mic for like 2 minutes.
Go ahead.
And I want to speak to black people who will listen, white people who will listen, and those people who have that agenda, regardless of what your color is. See, in my mind, hatred only comes from one place, and that's jealousy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like you hate a race of people who've done nothing to you solely because of your race. Well, that spawns the question: why? You have to know something about that race of people that just that builds that hate within you. It's not because they're different. Because there's many different races out there. But why you focus on this one specific race? Think about that for a second. From the moment you brought our ancestors over here from their land, wherever that land was. Now, y'all told us it was Africa, but that's a whole nother show.
That's a whole nother show.
Yeah,
right.
It's a whole nother show. It's been nothing but hatred from the moment we got here. From certain people. I'm not saying all white people. I'm not, okay. Now, Vic said something. He was like, just because, you know, when you pull the cover back, you're going to see. I'm going to go like this. Once you have a pissy mattress,
mm-hmm.
it's always pissy.
Yeah, that's the truth.
You
that
can change
the truth.
Sheets. You can put bedspreads. You can do all that. You can dress it up. You can do whatever you want to do, but at the end of the day, that mattress is pissy. And it's going to remain pissy. We just have to remember that.
Yeah.
Just because you progress and it gets to a place to where you feel as though
you arrive,
you have
you
arrived.
Arrived.
In some people's mind, you will always be what they want you to be. That doesn't mean that that's what you are, but to them, that's what you are. There's no change in that. So there's no uproar needed. There's nothing I need to do to show you or to get you to understand how upset I am is what you said. No, man, that's you. I expect that from you. If I know I ain't done nothing to you and you feel that way towards me, that's all personal. So what I'm saying is don't get caught up, man. It's going to happen. And what they realize, I'm going to say this because I'm
mm-hmm.
full off something else. I just
yeah,
came
go
from
ahead.
The place.
Go ahead.
We've been taught that, you know, the tail is going to change.
Mm-hmm.
What was on the bottom is going to be on the top.
We got to be last, be first.
We've been told that that's going to happen, and we see it happening. We're in the process of it happening because what he got upset with is now the woman that I'm associated with is standing next to somebody who's beneath me. So to himself, he sees this looks as though they're on the same level I'm on.
Mm-hmm.
No, we can't have that. That they always are underneath me, and because they standing next to you, they standing next to me.
So much so that he told her this might end our relationship, right?
I don't care. It ain't even the fact that you do it, and I'm telling you, I don't care that you do it.
Just don't do it on publicly. That's what he
said. I know Magic Johnson.
Okay.
Met him several times.
Good person. Good person.
But.
He's not on my level.
Magic owns a part of the Lakers and the Dodgers.
He's not on Sterling's level.
Yeah, he's not on his level.
It doesn't matter what he accomplishes. So that's what I'm saying. For Magic to step out, I'm not going to go to the game. Like, be the snap, buy all the tickets. Fill his stadium up with us.
Yes.
Fill his stadium up.
I'll tell you though, man. I told him
that. It's sad. Have him sitting there just with the disgusted face.
And we enjoying the game.
And we enjoying the game. Laughing and having a good time.
Because that's what you hate. You don't want that.
One thing about it, though, and like they say, this does put another notch on his belt for his roadies, mm-hmm. homeboys, the little clique they have. But the fact of the matter that he's diminished himself, period, forever, will not change. It will not change. The outlook on Donald Sterling from this. Do you know I seen where he was supposed to be up to get an NAACP award coming up next month?
The same guy?
This guy right here. But now, like they say, you know, pull the sheet from over his head, and now we're exposed him. They're trying to figure out what they're going to do about it. So all this time, this was his feeling.
Mm.
But he was portraying himself a certain way, like he was telling her, that's me. You can't do what I do. But yeah. This is how I feel.
You say he has yet to comment. He's not going to.
You don't know.
He don't feel like he deserves to say nothing because he feels as if we are beneath him.
The ones that got my back feel the way that I feel. So I don't know how to say nothing about it.
He's going to have a new side chick real soon.
She's out of here. She's out of here. A little background on that. Let me see. I had some background on her. And the Clippers president said in a statement that the team did not know if the tape is legitimate or has been altered. He said the woman on the tape identified by TMZ as, I won't say her name, is the defendant in a lawsuit brought by the Sterling family alleging, that she has embezzled more than $1.8 million. And she told Mr. Sterling she would get even. Regardless, he still played into the tape. She didn't make him say that.
No.
She may have recorded him and set him up.
And if the tape has been altered, are we saying that's not his voice?
Yeah.
Because anything outside of that, I don't care about the altering. All right. He said what
he said.
I'm interested in seeing what happens after this.
I don't think nothing will.
I wouldn't be surprised if nothing.
It makes sense.
I'm interested. Hey, well, like you said, homeboy, it ain't really nothing they can do to hurt him.
Yeah, right.
You can find him all you want. He got old money, as they say.
Yeah, he's a little background on him. He comes from real estate. He's a real estate giant in L.A. And he bought the Lakers. But in November 2009, he agreed to pay $2.73 million to settle allegations by the government that he refused to rent apartments to Hispanics and blacks and to families with children. These are the apartments he owned in his real estate. Also in 2006, the Justice Department sued Sterling for alleged housing discrimination in the Koreatown area of L.A. He got a lot of stuff already, if you go back and check. And then to Vic's point, I looked up that with Elgin Baylor.
Mm-hmm.
Elgin Baylor tried to sue the Clippers and Donald Sterling for saying they released him with no reason, no kind of reasoning behind it. But he actually lost the lawsuit in court. They didn't find no justification for it. So.
Yeah.
Man, that was deep right there.
Also, this is the last point, and we can close this out. It says that Donald Sterling, his whole career as the owner of the Clippers, has been a fixture on the sideline.
Mm-hmm.
But he really doesn't rarely visit the locker room. Yeah. But you always been. Now, I don't know how that goes with all the owners, but that's kind of weird.
Yeah.
The owner team be there every night. You're never going to the locker room. I mean, of course, we might be in a generation of Mark Cuban, but
that man, he want to see his property play. But he doesn't want to associate.
Yeah.
That's like a farmer, you know, milking his cows,
yeah.
You know, and tending his sheep, but he not finna hang out with him.
What better way? I bet you made that point is so good, because what better way to legitimize being master than to own an NBA team and have a draft?
Hmm.
I'm just buying slaves, not legally.
Hmm.
Yeah, pretty much. Goes to the highest bidder.
Yeah. So he's in the right profession. Because why else would a real estate giant want an NBA team?
Hmm.
Wow, man. It's wild. That was the end of the note for this week, man. I knew it was no way to give that one topic and put it amongst a bunch of minutes, so I just gave it all to that one.
That was a deep end of note. And we, again, it's a special occasion, so we're gonna take one more call. One more caller. 666.
We don't like that number.
Jason right. David Frank wants me to tell you you're a nigger.
Oh, okay. 666. True.
Oh, yeah.
Have the balls to call us and tell us that we drive over here to Robonia, Florida, and tell us that to our face.
See what I'm saying, man? We don't.
It's all right. I just left church. I'm in a good mood.
Move on.
All right. One more call.
424.
Hello?
424.
Hi, I'm
on the air, man.
I'm calling because I was watching this special on BT the other day about the old Jay-Z Nas feud back in the late 90s, early 2000s. I have a question about it. I was wondering if you could answer it.
We'll do our best. Go ahead.
Do you know if Jay-Z's ever had a cactus shoved up his ass before? Because I'm fucking a cactus right now.
All right. Ignorance is on the rampant today.
So we see ignorance is on
the rampant today, but we're going to move on. What we got?
We're going to keep moving.
And you know what? I'm going to tell you why ignorance showed up. Because we're going into reflection.
There you go.
We're going into reflection, which is the title of the show. And reflection basically is, we today decided, as Thoughts of a Brother, we was going to go to the Men's Day program at Macedonian Missionary Baptist Church in Robonia, Florida. All of our home churches, we grew up in it. And we decided to be a part of it today. It was the 20th anniversary. So we want to reflect on some of the things we heard and what we got out of the service. Moving forward, because as we can see, Buddy is busy.
Buddy is busy today.
We're going to go ahead and go into that. My take on it, Reverend Brooks was feeling a little under the weather.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I still caught some jewels because it was still there. I would probably selfishly wish he would have went a little farther and did what I've seen before, but the spirit moves. That's up for questioning for me. I'll come back to that later, but that's just my point on what I think.
Being my first time,
mm-hmm.
Hearing him preach, I enjoyed it, even though I realized in watching it that it was a struggle for him.
Mm-hmm.
That he wasn't feeling, he was under the weather, but still put on an excellent show, not to call it a show, but, an excellent service.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really enjoy it. One thing I wanted to touch on that he said, every man should be saved. Every man
ought to be saved.
Because it's our role as men and leaders of our household to basically save those loved ones that are around us. You know, we're saved as men. That affects our wives, which then affects our children, when then that's your whole house.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're in a blessed house, but it has to start with the man being safe.
Mm-hmm.
Going along with that, though, once you consider yourself a Christian or you take on the title, one of the points he made was that it's not enough to have the title and to understand the title, the word, whatever. Your actions have to follow.
Mm-hmm.
Your title should be known through what you do. Like, you shouldn't have to tell verbally that you're a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Someone should look at your life and see that.
Yeah.
It's not like it's not something that I've known. It's just that reminder. You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean? Like, it ain't just enough to say, okay, yeah, I know you, and I study.
Yeah.
Now what?
You say no works.
Yeah.
No works. What did it profit you to even come into the understanding of who he is or what he's done? What benefit is it to you?
Right. Right. And I picked up the same thing from that because I heard him say translate learning into living.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I thought that was a good point because if I'm learning something, and I'm a total believer that we learn on a daily, I need to start living it. I'm not learning it just to learn. I mean, we go to school for 12 years just to get a diploma. But you're doing it for something.
Yeah, because once I get this diploma,
now you're getting free learning.
Support my life.
You can free learn on a daily basis. It might be as simple as my daughter teaching me the simpleness of just being happy.
Mm-hmm.
Translate that into living. The fact that she can just walk around and just happy for no apparent reason, if I translate that into learning that from her and I translate that into my living, I probably walk around and just be happy for no apparent reason.
You said come to me as a little
kid. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the truth of the matter is you see the innocence and the soul. The total non-understanding of the world in a child. So what they're giving you is true, raw innocence. Because they don't get it. Like you said, Bone, this whole thing with, Stir. The fact that this is going on and we understand it, our daughters and our sons probably don't understand it because it's not in their world.
They're oblivious to it, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Which is the beauty in it.
Yeah.
Which is the beauty in it.
That innocence, like you said.
Yeah.
When you see your daughter running around happy. That in itself, I can have the worst day. The worst day. Every Tom, Dick, and Harry want to act a fool, you know, can act a fool in my presence. But as soon as I walk through that door and I see my daughter's smiling face, I see my son running to me calling my name, all that goes away.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the truth. That's the truth of it. The other thing I've seen, it's another statement that Pastor Brooks said. He said, what we believe determines how we behave.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the jewel in this one is that can be good and bad.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And we done touched on that a lot, too, because with that embeddedment, that you pick up these bad habits and these bad things that we've just been taught over time. But we also believe other things, like we always say, that first thought come in your mind is probably what you really truly feel. That's a belief. Go on it. Go on that belief. Go on that belief, and that's how you'll behave.
Yeah. I got, he listed three things
mm-hmm.
that are required to consider Christian dedication, I guess,
mm-hmm.
is what he said. And that's giving up your body,
mm-hmm.
giving up your mind, and giving up your will. That's extremely, as he's talking, I'm thinking like, that's the whole battle.
Yeah.
To give up all three of those things, I may be able to give up two, but
mm-hmm.
that one is going to control me.
And sometimes you get them convoluted anyway because you think one is the other.
Right. Like he said.
Yeah.
He said, you know, your body want to do what your body used to doing.
Yeah.
You know, and what he said, your mind follow.
Yeah.
Yeah, the mind follow.
And
though.
You can't even do it, though.
You lost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he said, your body might want to be at the juke joint. You know what I'm saying? And your mind somewhere else. But your body is what's present. But the one thing that resonates a lot with me now is to be present for the body. I mean, to
absolutely.
Be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That is a true statement. For a lot of my life, I really honestly thought I had to be inside myself. And when I said go inside myself, I felt as if I had to be present with myself.
Mm-hmm.
Not realizing my presence wasn't even needed with myself. I need to be absent here and be present with the Lord. Now when I hear that, every time I hear it, it sends chills through my body. Because I understand.
When I always heard that, I contributed that, or I associated that with the physical death.
Death. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. The absence from the body is present with the Lord. The absence from the Lord. No, you can
be alive.
You can be living and breathing and be absent from the body.
For me, from my personal experience, that is living.
That's when you begin to live.
That's living for me. I died a long time ago. What I was just explaining to you was me fighting in my own death. Then when I killed it, now I'm living.
I am present with the Lord every day of my life.
That just made me think of, you know, my favorite.
Yeah.
One of his lines is, I had to die once to never ever die again.
Yeah.
That wasn't a physical death because he's still here.
He's telling
me.
So
he's telling me,
yeah.
I had to get outside myself
and
start living through something else. So now I never die. I might leave this body, but I never die.
You know what I'm doing right now on earth? I'm practicing to live forever.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm doing. So why not enjoy this? Because I know where I'm going. I'm going to live forever. While I'm here, I might as well live too. So I'm just practicing what I'm going to really be doing.
I mean, we really enjoyed it. And I could tell we didn't say a whole lot during the service. But, you know, at the corner of my eye, I could see you,
yeah.
You know, rocking your head every now and then. Same thing with you, Corey. Nodding to certain things. And, you know, while we were enjoying the service, all three of us were trying to take notes. And I couldn't, to be honest with you, I couldn't write down everything I wanted.
Right.
I couldn't write fast enough to keep up with everything that he was hitting us with, you know. So to sum it up, for me, this man basically, for me, took me a journey through his whole life. You know, he talked about his earliness when he used to be out there running streets thinking he knew everything. Then, you know, he say one Sunday he got up and gave himself to the Lord. And then, you know, now, you know, he's living. That, to me, that story that he gave me made me realize that, and we talked about this before, I feel like I'm on the right path.
Right.
And, you know, I've gotten through that phase of when I thought I knew everything and I was a knucklehead and running the streets and, you know, my body was leading me, you know, to this point now where I'm finding myself spiritually and listening to that little voice that we talk about in my head when, the first time it says something. Not when it's trying to convince me after I done talked myself out of it, but the first time it says something. Listening and going with that, because 90% of the time, that's what the thing should be doing.
When you go to talking to yourself or talking about it, you're trying to talk yourself
out
of
it,
doing what you know you should have done.
Yeah. You know what, too? And I found this. I was going to say crazy, but me and you, Corey, a long time ago, I don't know if we let you in on this, bro, but we were saying crazy and we came to understand that every time you say crazy, it's really understanding. It's not nothing crazy about it. You just understand something that is unfamiliar. No, it's familiar. It's uncomfortable, I should say, for you.
It's different.
Yeah, it's different. It's different. We say that all the time, too. Finish his sentence. I was sitting in church. So I'm sitting next to this lady next to me. So I already have assumed she's a part of Pastor Brooks' church, which was the visiting church. So he was saying things, and she was finishing before we got to the end. So I was like, well, she probably know this sermon, know him well. The other pastor that was from their church that was doing the hosting kind of direction, he came up, she was finishing here. So I was like, well, she know him too. So, you know, it's probably just a thing like that. Okay, Pastor Thomas, the pastor of Macedonia Missionary Church, the home church, who I know she don't know on a regular basis, got up. And she was finishing here. In that moment, I realized how God works. What he's spreading, if you're willing to hear it, you already know it. You already know it. I swear, he was saying something, and before he got to the end, she said, it wasn't a scripture. It was just a statement, but she knew where he was going because God was in the building. He was there so much that she knew where God was leading him before he went because God was leading her there too. It was God in the house. And it was the first time that I experienced it in that magnitude. And you can miss it. Because sitting there, I could have easily missed that. But picking up on it and what made me follow it, because I was kind of, I'm going to be honest, getting aggravated. Because I was like, I want to hear what they're saying and stop finishing it. I know you know because you know them. You know what I'm saying? And then when Pastor Thomas got there, she finished his. I was like, whoa, this is God showing me something.
So it wasn't them personally that she knew. She knew the Lord.
She knew the Lord. It's a universal language. That's it.
So as she was getting confirmation, you were getting a revelation.
Yes.
Because you were aggravated at what you were hearing at first.
A conflict.
But then once you stopped and let whatever was trying to reveal to you what it Oh.
Exactly.
This ain't what I thought it was.
Exactly.
That's how he works. You say God was in the building. I hear people ask that question and make that statement. The Lord was there that way. The Lord was there that way. I feel like for any Christian, any real Christian, that should never be a place you go where he is.
Oh, no. No, no. Remember,
because you shouldn't be surprised that he does that.
Right. All three of us have had conversations. We have talked to the chair like God is sitting right there.
Yeah.
Everywhere, every time we talk, we talk. And when we, I know you can't see us, but when we go to direct what we're talking about to God, we look to a certain spot in the area where we at.
And it's crazy because we all know.
It's not identified before time, but I look and everybody already be there.
You know what that means? Individually, all three of us brought him
with
us.
Yeah, and to solidify your point, what you're saying, you know, you shouldn't be going anywhere where he's not there. He should be with you.
Take him with you.
So wherever you go, he's going to be with you.
Somebody telling you that, you should look at them and say, oh, you just got him. You just brought him. I had mine.
Y'all just clicked up, huh?
God was in there.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay then.
Yeah, man. I'm gonna say this. It was a great church service.
Definitely.
Here comes the contrast.
Here we go.
Here comes the contrast for me, and I had to put this out there because God put it on my mind. Pastor Brooks was sick. He mentioned that before he started to preach,
mm-hmm.
So we understood that. In the midst of being sick, he went on his sermon, and he carried it up. At some point, I felt, like you said, Bone, you can see he was struggling. I felt like he let go of the spirit and took the excuse of being sick. For me, that was a problem, because I've been lost in the spirit before, and I'm not sick. I'm not nothing but spirit. So I don't want to question him, because I don't know. But to see it on that stage and to see it from the standpoint I was looking at, and I could be being too critical. But I'm of the belief, sick, crazy, sleep, dead. God is in me, I'm moving. You're going to feel that. And once I go, I go. That's my passion. That's my passion for the Lord. When I'm in, I can have the migraine out of this world. And in most cases, when I got migraine, I can't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
But if you catch me in a moment where God just done set my soul on fire, that migraine and all that, you're going to look at me and say, I'm going to take migraine and say, he took it.
And, you know,
I know that's controversial.
I'm just going to say this, you know, because I take the stance that you seen him at his best,
right,
maybe.
Right, right.
You see
Mike, no. Yeah.
I really apologize. Looks like we had a little bit of a technical issue. We might have got disconnected. If we didn't, we apologize. We'll apologize. And we
there we go.
Bro.
So like I was saying,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? The man, he preached till he couldn't preach no more. He preached till he couldn't stand anymore. Then he sat down and continued to preach until he was literally out of breath. So, I mean, I understand what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
I just think he gave as much as he could so he couldn't get no more.
And that's why I said I could be being critical, because the way the spirit hit me might not hit everybody. You know what I'm saying? And that's another thing we were talking about the other day, Corey, when you were saying that's one of the main issues you have for me as a person. You want things to be the way you see them sometimes.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I know I'm not the only person, but I'm a myth.
Yeah. That's human nature. That's why we have a hard time accepting what we don't do.
Right.
Somebody else is wrong for what they do because I don't do it. No, that don't mean you're wrong. That just means you're different.
Yeah.
I can't expect you to do what I think I would do. I don't know what I would do because I ain't in that situation, but I can't. So going along, I'm putting this into what you said. I
mm-hmm.
get where you're coming from, and when we was outside, like, you mentioned it a little bit, and I was like, you know, I get that too. Because if you're telling me to submit my will and to submit my mind and submit my body, then sickness, if I made it here, if I got to a point where I got in the vehicle, I made it here, I'm in the building, I'm going to show out now. I was sick before I got in the car, and I knew that. So now that I'm here, I can't use sickness as an excuse. That was my mindset, but in sitting here listening, it kind of evolved into maybe that's all that he was supposed to do.
Yeah.
In that moment, maybe he did what he was supposed to do, and he was comfortable with sitting down at that point. You know what I mean? We might have wanted more, but there wasn't more to give.
Yeah, I totally agree, and that's why I said it's probably coming from a selfish standpoint. And
we'll never. I mean, you could be totally right. We'll never know what the answer is. All we could do is go off.
What we do know, though, is these jewels we did
that's
get.
All we got.
So, I mean, leave it at that. It's me being hungry and wanting more. And now I'm placing blame. But at the end of the day, it's just like Uncle Webster said.
Mm-hmm.
And he always said, you know, if a man down, the only reason you should stand down, stand up over him is to help him up.
Pick him up.
Never look down on a man unless you're going to pick him up.
Go
and pick him up. I'm going to tell you how he said. He ain't say going. He said gone.
Go pick him up.
I wrote that down. That was.
And that ain't nothing new. I'm just going to throw that out. That ain't nothing new he said today. He's been telling me that all my life.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So he really truthfully believed that.
It's and a song out there.
It is. I didn't even know.
That's a song.
Yeah.
I've heard the song a couple times, but it's a
real good standard to live by, too.
It is.
One thing I wanted to mention. Something I got from it, and I hope y'all got it too, so y'all can, because I only caught part of it when he was talking about, you know, transforming.
Mm.
He went through the story of you know, a frog laying an egg, that egg hatching into a tadpole, that tadpole moving its tail and becoming a frog.
Mm-hmm.
Within that story, I think what he was trying to tell us is that to become a Christian, and y'all know how I feel about the word Christian.
Right.
We've had that conversation before. All right. Never mind. We're not going to go there. in the process of becoming a Christian, you know, I think his words was you can try to convert it into what you want it to be, and you could be on your own.
Mm-hmm.
Or take it as what it is, what it's meant to be, and he is with you the whole time. You know, that transformation that you go through as a person, you know, your mind state, your thought process, you know, almost to your physical appearance.
Can I run with that for
a
second? Yeah,
I want you to. That's why I brought it up.
We have this conversation fairly often, and we come to the conclusion that it's a process.
Mm-hmm.
It's a process. I mean, just because you're not where you think you should be don't mean that you ain't where you're supposed to be.
Right?
So it's a process. But in listening to him today, maybe the only reason that it's a process is because I'm trying to change the way it's supposed to go. I'm deviating from the blueprint expecting the results.
Mm-hmm.
So the only reason it's a process is because I keep going off track.
Mm-hmm.
It's not meant to be a process. It's a decision. And once you make the decision, now it's a path.
Yeah.
It's a road. I got you, and I'm on this road with you wherever you go. But you keep getting to the point where, or you keep going off track before you get to making that one decision, that ever-changing decision.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to say it, but that decision that, you know what, no matter what, I'm not going to conform. And to go, you use the word conform, one of his statements was, when the world has your mind, you become a conformer.
Mm-hmm.
But when God or the Bible or the Word or whatever has your mind, you become a transformer.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a process to becoming a transformer. No, you are now transformed.
You have transformed.
You have transformed. Process is done. Now we live.
I feel exactly what you're saying. You know, we as human beings make things difficult, more difficult than they have to be.
Yeah.
A lot of times. And it's as simple as making a decision.
That's it.
It's as simple as making a decision. We create the process.
The gray area.
We create the process.
Yeah, great.
You know what I'm saying? Trying to do it outside of that blueprint, like you said. You know, we just going to do it the way we want to do it. That's what gives us the struggle. That's how we fall and all that and get back up and dust yourself off and start all over again, because we make it harder than it really should be. It should just be as simple as a decision. You have said that, homeboy. I'm going to go ahead and say it.
Yeah.
I'm going to call myself out on this. You have said that several times, and I have disagreed with you. on air, I think, a couple of times.
Yeah.
I disagree with you. And I think I have come to the realization that it doesn't really, all I have to do is say I want it.
Yeah.
I have to make the choice that I want that. You know, my struggle is that I want that, but I want to hold on to this.
Mm-mm.
I want that, but I want to still be able to do this. That's what makes it a process. That's what makes it hard.
And you know what? That's not going to go anywhere because you are flesh.
Yeah.
Mm.
And that's not that. Now, he was telling me
that.
He
pointed
that
out.
Like,
you
always don't have that balance.
But you transform.
Because you're flesh.
I don't
care if you're 70 years old.
We say God compresses it.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit, I think, was his word. Compresses it. That was Pastor Thomas actually.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Pastor Thomas actually said that. That the Holy Spirit pushes that down, what the flesh wants, and allows you to still go down that path that you should be going down.
At the end of the service, Pastor Thomas went into a point, and it was also another guest pastor there, and both of their points were basically that we as men need to be stand up and be seen. They call on the men to stand out and do what men need to do. Even so much to the fact that Pastor Thomas went kind of personal with him.
Yes,
he went into his household in his bedroom and said him and his wife shared a king size bed. And at some point, he realized he wasn't close enough to his wife. To the point where he said, you don't know what's going on around him.
Hmm.
So he downsized. He needed to see what's going on around him. It was funny.
It was funny.
But the reality
understood.
Of it made so much sense. So much so, y'all want a king-size bed?
I got a queen-size bed, and I'm starting to think maybe that's too big. I might need to go down. Get old full size.
Your wife sleep in one spot though.
Yeah, I'm all over.
So you good? You good?
Yeah, I'm all over.
You good?
He went a little deeper than that. Like we now have gotten into, and we talked about this in a couple different shows, a couple different ways, but
mm-hmm.
it was consolidated today. That, you know, we have man caves now,
mm-hmm.
where the family room,
yeah,
the family sits in the family room and watch TV, but we go in the man cave.
Mm-hmm.
You got a phone, I got a phone. Okay, we got this king-side bed. That's your side, this my side. It's all separation. And once the house is separated, that like the Bible tells you, house divided.
Can't
stand.
Can't stand.
So we got to get it wheeled. It all starts with us. And I've been on this for a long time. I just felt that way for a reason. Like, I know I sound harsh and I sound brash and I sound this and I sound that, but at the end of the day, if we step up and be the men that we were designed to be and stop buying into what society wants us to be, wants us to accept as okay, we have a blueprint. And anybody who dares say, I believe in this, I believe in God, you have to follow his blueprint.
Yeah.
Outside of that, it's not going to, you may enjoy the life, but you're not living the life that he has for you.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I'm understanding for myself. I walked out of there knowing that I got to find a church home. I need to be connected to that. And I know we do this, and we're learning as we
mm-hmm.
walk.
Mm-hmm.
But to get someone who's experienced, to get their interpretation and to get their input,
mm-hmm.
it's invaluable. Not saying that I got to buy into everything you say, but you could give me something that, okay, I was struggling with this in my own mind. I didn't know if I was right or whatever. But to hear you say this, okay, now I go with it. Or you could give me the opposite. But I'll never know if I don't even open myself up to it.
I want to throw this question out there for the group. And it may be a little off topic. You know, you say you got to find your church home.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. How do you feel about, you know, a man and a woman, say they did not meet in church.
Mm-hmm.
They met outside or whatever, and they both are searching for a church home, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like they have to, if they decide to get married, do they have to have the same church? Or does it just, you need a church, whether we're in the same church or not?
My opinion, this is just me, and I think you know what I'm about to say.
Mm-hmm.
If you were in a church when I met you, and I was in another church, and we just met up and we started dating, whatever. We get married at some point. That transition has to happen. We can't be eating from two different plates. We need to be under the same direction. Now, ultimately, yeah, we both under God, but in this relationship, there needs to be unity. And I don't think it's a good practice when you eating something that I ain't eating, and I'm eating something that you ain't eating. So now it could lead to you believing a different way than I believe. I will also say this. I think if that man, and I'm going back to the man again, if that man is true in his walk and he's living according to what he believes, she'll follow him without him asking.
Mm-hmm.
That's not even an issue.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're living like this and I know who you're being to me, I want to be a part of everything that you're a part of.
And to piggyback on that, see, that comes back to what the pastors were basically asking us to enforce again. Stand out and be the man. Stand out, follow God, do what you're supposed to, because like he said, and we talked on this earlier, every good man is good, but you put a solid, godly woman beside him, he's great.
What he say, God didn't take that part from the back, he took it from the side.
Yeah.
Support. And he even went and said, we've dirtied up the word help. Help was intended to mean, I should have wrote it down.
He said, man, to strengthen or encourage. I'm not sure what the word encourage means, but
I thought he said encourage. So, hey.
Maybe he did say encourage, and I just picked it up on him. Yeah, maybe so. Because I was kind of thinking I was encouraged, but yeah, he probably said
encourage. So what you're saying is, if you have that woman who has accepted God into her life, I ultimately get, not all of, but I get re-strengthened through that relationship with her.
Yeah.
You are my strength. You are a source of strength for me. I'll put it that way. You are another source of strength.
So when I'm wavering or questioning myself or doubting myself,
I need you to be there.
Right there.
And it's going, and what it's not like she's going to put you on something else. She's just going to instill what you already know. Yeah.
I'm gonna go right here, and I'm. This is why I know I agree with that. Everybody, both of y'all married.
Mm-hmm.
Put yourself here. You can walk out of the house dressed like you dress right now,
mm-hmm.
and everybody you encounter say, "You look nice.
Mm-hmm.
You look nice. Your wife see you and be like,
"Yeah, you finna take it off.
I really don't like you. What you gonna think when you put that? You're not wearing that no more."
Right.
Yeah.
It goes right in.
No, it's ever again.
So it don't matter what you get from nobody else.
Yeah. That's true.
When she give it to you, it's gold.
Yeah. That's true. I'm going to answer one question as far as the churches.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've always been of the belief as long as somebody, we are collectively serving God through our own spirituality, we're okay. But I've learned over time, and this has been recent, because I think on my birthday, we had a conversation where I was saying, it don't matter what church my wife go to or what church I go to. It is what it is, me in church.
Right.
She ain't got a father, I ain't got a father.
That's how I was.
Right. But now I'm coming to the understanding that I believe what Cora said. I believe if I stand out front and I'm the lead, and she's allowing me to lead in the manner that the Bible has laid out for us on the platform, sooner or later, she ain't going to be satisfied with that church because I'm at the other. She going to follow me.
She going to see your growth.
Yeah.
And want the same growth if that's what she's looking for.
It could happen that she convinced me to join her church. But either way, it's going to be ultimate decision will come down to where I'm at.
Yeah.
Now, before I just seen it as if you can go to church, I can go to church. As long as you're going to church, is good.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't really think, because there was that separation again.
Mm-hmm.
And once you bring separation anywhere near a relationship, it don't even have to be a marriage. Mm-hmm. It sets yourself up for more separation. So, because you're going to feel as if, well, I don't need them like I thought I'd be.
And I tend to believe if you would say that, well, you can go to that church, I go to this church. You can eat over there, all right, get over there.
Yeah.
You can sleep on the couch, I'll sleep in the bed.
Yeah.
Well, you can go over there, I'm going to go over there.
It's going to that point. Yeah.
It's just going to always be, you do whatever you want to do, and I'm going to do whatever I want to do.
Ain't no sense of being together.
Ain't no unity.
Yeah, ain't no sense of being together. Nah.
No.
Y'all are just two individuals that's together.
Exactly. You doing you, I'm doing me, and we just going to see how this works out. No, man, put it in.
I got some, I mean, some good revelations from Church of Hope. And I got some confirmation. And I went hard on court. And I'm going to throw this out there. I went hard on court when we first visited this, as far as about the man being the head and the blueprint. Because I think inside myself, I hadn't realized I had become conformed through the world. Through an understanding that said, it's okay. You give a little bit, you take a little bit. You shave off something here, you get it back later. The reality is, ain't nowhere in the Bible that say that.
No, be steadfast.
Nowhere in the Bible that says it. So me trying to conform instead of being transformed, I have to come back now and say, I was wrong on my approach as far as where I was coming to court. I understood and heard it. And the reason I understood and heard it because I knew it was the truth. One thing about the truth, you can get mad with it. You can cuss it out. You can even feel like it don't exist. But it's there.
Can't deny it.
It's there.
I think it's important to say this because Corey didn't understand it. It's important to be steadfast. It's important to be solid in what you believe and what you do and how you this and how you that. It's also important to understand leading is not forceful.
No, no.
Leading doesn't require force.
No.
I'm going to allow you to be whatever it is you choose to be. But what I'm going to do as the leader is be solid in the decisions I make.
That's true.
Now, eventually, you either going to have to, you're going to come to a conflict in yourself. It's not for me. You come to a conflict within yourself where you either have to get on board or find you another leader.
Yeah,
because I'm changing. So that's where the strength comes in. It ain't, and I didn't know that before. I was rah-rah.
Yeah.
No, you don't do it now. No, right. This one. Nah.
You were taking a stand. You just taking the wrong stand. Yeah.
Just be quiet. Just be quiet and do what you do.
If it's coming from the proper place, if what you say really don't matter, it's your actions that will affect people more than any words that you can say that come out of your mouth.
Which is how we started this off. A Christian don't got to tell them about it. I'm solid in what I do, so you should know what that is. And if you don't recognize this, that means you got to check you. I'm good.
Well, you know what I hear and what I do see amongst us three is the evolution.
Yeah.
We're evolving. And it's the involvement that evolution that's happening that I can go back two or three shows and my whole outlook was totally different than it is today. But as long as I'm open, and it might change again. Only thing I'm hoping is it's going to change to the right.
Right.
And as long as I'm walking with him, like I always say, undisputed, undefeated, no recipe to be beat, I don't have that to worry about.
And that's the whole point of what we're doing here, ladies and gentlemen. We went into this with that mindset. We at times may have wavered or lost our way, but it all comes back to that one thing, you know, trying to lead by example. We're not trying to force our opinion on anybody. No. You know, we have our opinion and we're open to yours. But our path has been set.
Yeah.
And our path has been set and we're going to stick to that.
Yeah.
Ain't no denial.
And we believe in it and we all in it and we're going full force because he's leading us. I mean, listen, I'm finna chime in. A lot of times, a lot of things we do is just as surprising to you as it is to us. Court asked me the other day, I said, I don't know what I'm doing. He said, you don't know what you're doing? I said, no. And in that moment, he went to laughing because I think he finally realized we don't know what we're doing because we are not doing it.
There you go.
We are not doing it, and we allowed ourselves to be in a position where we are not trying to.
And every time we try to force it, I'll say, with lack of a better word, or put too much thought into it, there's conflict, there's misunderstandings, everybody on a different page. When we go back and just do like we started out and just do it, it all falls back in line.
That means it's being directed.
Yeah.
Stop getting off track. That's the hardest thing to do, though.
Yes.
See, it's that contradiction that's there. You can understand that all day, but when I put, there's no way I cannot think me.
Yeah.
But the moment I put me in the situation, it's off track. It's going wrong.
It's gone. You know, I was presented with a question one time. And shout out to my homegirl, Peasy, born white. Happy birthday. She presented me.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. Happy birthday.
Get short on time. I hadn't got that in there yet.
Yeah,
birthday,
she
baby.
Told me, she said, make
happy
sure that you're not. So I had to shoot
29. She's 29. 29 again.
Yeah. So she was having a conversation, and she wanted to know, she said, you always said, don't say I. She said, but don't you have to look inside yourself first, excuse me, to make sure the changes you need to make. So that was the first time somebody had really questioned me on that I thing, because I was so gone home, it ain't about me. I'm taking I of it. And for the first time I realized, yeah, at some point I had to sit down and go into I. You know what I'm saying? Go into I. But I had to realize after going into I, it was me, like what you're saying, T. Because when you say I, that means you're putting yourself out front. When I say me, you can put he in front of
it. See, I would say that the opposite way.
You would?
And I think we kind of come from this.
We're probably going to come back to the same thing, I bet you, though, to understand why.
But I would say I, because when you go into I,
mm-hmm.
that doesn't mean you're going into Derek. You're going into the I that lives within there.
Yeah.
The I am that I am
mm-hmm.
that lives within there. It's not about me. Derek.
Right.
I'm going into the I within there.
I am who I said I was. Okay.
Who lives. The one that I say I'm. Okay. Now that I got him out front, I can't lose. I'm not arrogant. I'm just confident in it.
Yeah, I feel you.
So I'm going to consult I all the time.
I feel you. And you know what? It's crazy. I just wrote a blog, and at the end of it, I said he saved me. And it, which means me was the problem. I was already good.
I was good.
Yeah.
I was with you the whole time.
But I told you when I write, it comes out the way I want it to be. When I talk, listen, I'm getting this talking thing down. But just bear with me. Hey, I'm just like Steve. He ain't through with me yet.
He ain't through with me yet. You know what this takes me back to is something you said this was a few minutes ago. Well, I may be putting words in your mouth, but. You know, you felt cheated that he didn't talk as long.
Yeah.
But like Corey said, I think maybe he talked as long as it was meant for him to talk. Cause this, we've been talking about it now
for hours.
So, and you know, although, you know, I wanted him to keep going, I didn't want him to stop.
Yeah.
You know, but I think he gave us what we were meant to get from him.
Yeah.
And just in a short period of time.
And a lot of it comes back to this, what we're doing right here.
Yeah.
It's not so much, again, Corey, and I said it to you outside personally, but
mm-hmm.
I'm going to say it right now, like, it's not, getting more knowledge is not about letting somebody else know that I've attained knowledge. I don't care if I read a book and found out something and I chose to bring it to the station. No, it's not about that. What do I do with what I learned?
Mm-hmm.
So, if I do gain more knowledge about Christianity or just God or the whole process, is it to sit here and act like I'm more knowledgeable than somebody else, or is it for me to now apply that to get closer to that life that he
mm-hmm.
got for me? Because this ain't it. This I might be on track, but this ain't it.
No, and Pastor Brooks pointed that out. Basically, you'll never get there hill. What you're getting ready for ain't hill. But you got to accept that and be okay with it. And then your transformation will take its own course. But that's why we have scrolls. That's why we go through the things. Because we ain't planning on, it was never meant for us to stay here forever. You know what I'm saying? It's just understanding. It's just understanding it. I mean, I was looking down at my notes, and I seen it, and I just thought about it. He continued to say, responsible servant.
Yeah.
And that was the first time I heard it and realized, that's all I got to do? I'm just responsible for service because, hey, he died on the cross. He's the reason I got whatever I got right now. The reason I'm sitting here talking to you. So my service to him, I'm responsible for.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so that's all you. So my understanding, that's the only reason you're still here.
Yeah.
For him.
Yeah.
Everything else is a benefit.
Yeah. Yeah.
What we tend to do is make everything else be priority and let him be benefit.
Yeah.
No. You got to twist it.
Yeah, that's a good analogy.
That's a real good way to put
it. We gotta put him as priority and let everything else be beneficial.
You ain't got nothing to worry about.
You that little kid that run around in these herbs laughing and joking about nothing because you don't see what they see.
Yeah, kind of.
It ain't that important to me.
We touched on this sometime. We feel like he ain't going nowhere. So we got time.
Yeah.
You know, the time to dwell in what the flesh wants.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because he ain't going nowhere. He's going to always be there. Mm-hmm. What did he say? He said, you know, if I were to die right now, I'm going to heaven. But if I, as long as I stay here, I got things I got to work on.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was deep for me.
Yeah. It puts it in perspective.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you realize, you know what I mean? It ain't like you're going to get heaven on earth. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, the closest you can get to that is practicing for to live forever. But in that practice, you see what they did to Jesus. What make you think it's going to be any easier for you?
Which goes back, and I'm going to go back to the end of no right now.
Yeah.
We've seen all this.
Yeah.
Why in the world would we think for 1 second that just because time has elapsed, things will change? Why would we think that? Oh, because you're not in shackles and chains no more?
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not getting whipped no more?
Not physical shackles and chains.
Yeah, you ain't in cotton fields no more? So now it's supposed to be different because you can drive a car? Because you can pick up a book and read for yourself?
Are you trying to say that our present cotton fields are our basketball court? Is that NBA basketball court? I'm just trying to start something.
Hey, the fact that you're trying to, but the fact of the matter is that they can be synonymous or compared is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Understanding.
Mm-hmm.
It's understanding because really the fact of the matter is that we can honestly say, if you want to, after hearing the thoughts of Mr. Sterling, that he feels this way, and you know it's a draft, and 90%, I might be off on my calculation, but 90% of the draft is African American or another
minority,
right? And he's able to pick them of his choosing who he wants and pay them to work for him. What is the difference in you putting a man on a slab and looking at his body and saying, okay, you're my slave?
Check this out. Slavery started with a group of people who were sold into slavery.
Mm-hmm.
Every descendant of that of that group of people were born into slavery.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They weren't born into it. They were sold into it.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else was born into it. So now you have to find a way after being born to escape from it.
Yeah.
That's what we haven't been able to do. That's why slavery still exists, because we have not, what's the word I'm looking for? Conceptualize the idea of what slavery really is. Now, it's not what it was, but it still exists.
Yeah, the priest said, the pastor Brooks said, he said, I think it was talking about Paul when he wrote the letters to the Romans, and he said, "By now, no matter how intellectual you may be, what you know, he went through a basis of what you may have. The reality is, if you ain't transformed, you ain't gonna get it." You ain't gonna get it, and that's a good point, Tito, because that is true. When you're born into something, how do you? You don't
get out.
Yeah, you
that's
even
the
know
question
you in.
I want to answer right now. How do you get out?
I think if that, and I'm avoiding your question.
Yeah.
I ain't gonna let it.
Because I mean, how can you answer that if all you know is you were born into this?
Mm-hmm.
So how do you know how to get out of something that you were born into?
You know what I think God says. It's just me. But I think the answer is if we stop accepting the process and make the choice, you what?
I got an even more clear cut.
There it is.
The answer is God.
That's what I'm saying. We keep saying it's a process.
Yeah,
it's a process. No, I'm not accepting the process. I'm going to make the choice. I want out of this. I want what you got. I want to be free from all of this stuff right here. Once I make the choice, we just said, now I'm that kid that's free. I'm a dependent. I'm dependent on something else. Not your system, not your gala, not your...
That don't even exist.
None of that matters to me no more. So I'm out of all that. You have no control over me no more.
And that's the freedom and the fact that after you heard that whole spiel about Sterling, you came back and you said, but that ain't nothing new under the sun.
Nothing.
Just like Vic said the same thing. Give Greek credit. In YouTube, you said you laughed at it.
Yeah.
I was upset. And I'm going to tell you why I was upset. Because it caught me. I got engrossed in it, right? And should have been, hey, why am I worried about that? That, you know, it is what it is. I know where I'm going. I know who got me. I know what it is. But I got caught up in it. You know what I'm saying? So I see the transformation compared to the conforming. You get what I'm saying? Like, and I get caught up in conforming a lot. And I think now that it's been pointed out, I probably won't be more on it. But I do realize now that's one of my biggest issues.
I try to make things as simple because I'm a simple-minded person. I really am. I'm a very simple-minded person. I'm simple-minded.
Whoa, boy.
To make things as simple.
Yeah, we do that.
As possible. And what I'm saying is simply put, God will always be God. Satan will always be Satan. Period.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. I was looking for more, but I was like, That's it.
If I can remember that, ain't nothing you can do to me that catch me off guard because you always going to be who you are. It ain't about the person who did it. I know who worked it through. I know who sent you. I know where that comes from, and it's always going to be him. But I know who I believe in, and he always going to be here. So we'll see who wins.
I had the craziest dream, man. And I went back and forth what I was going to tell y'all this night. And I had said if I was going to tell you, I was going to say it on air. I had the craziest dream, man. I was dreaming. And we was all, it was all three of us together. And we was out at a picnic or something, right? And I stood up and I said, Cora was telling me this once. And in that moment, I stopped. And I was like, the Lord just told me to tell you this. And I just said, Jesus. And I swear to God, I just said, Jesus. And in that moment, the song Service Season went to playing in the background. Oh, Jesus, I love to call on your name. I woke up so happy. I don't know. I was trying to figure out what the basis of that was. I'm going to be honest with you. When I came out of it, I said, because I'm not going to go into detail of what the dream really was, but when I said to Jesus, I went into a preaching, and everybody was fellowshipping.
Mm-hmm.
And when I woke up, I said, now, is the Lord telling me to preach? I'm being totally honest. I said, is he telling me to preach? And I said, well, maybe that's not it. Maybe he's telling me to call on Jesus.
Simple.
Simple. Just that simple. Because in that moment, I don't even know what I was going to say. You told me. But I know all three of us together. And I said, well, Corey told me. And then I just said, the Lord said Jesus. And when I... It's something about the name Jesus. The song is not wrong. It's something about Jesus. Whenever you say Jesus, me and you had this discussion before, T. Whenever you say Jesus, it ain't nothing bad or no nothing. Even if you finna cuss, if Jesus come up, you stop. When somebody says Jesus, it's a feeling that comes over them that is overwhelming and it's good. If I say, oh, Jesus, you felt that. You feel it. You ain't going to say Jesus unless you mean it.
Yeah.
And when you say it, you can be in the midst of a fight. If you say, oh, Jesus, you calling out. Now you calling out for screen. It changes things.
Powerful.
In a name.
It's powerful.
Nobody else can have it. It's the only name in the history that is out there that nobody, Mark, Matthew, all the disciples, John, he was the Baptist. He baptized Jesus. He took his name. Nobody would mess with Jesus. You can say Jesus, but they won't say Jesus. I bet you that much.
You know what? Being as you just went, this is how we do. You know. We
I told him we're going to surprise him.
Coming up as a kid, he was always told, I was anyway. Anytime you say the name Jesus, like, ooh, you're going to get it. You don't say the name Jesus. You don't say the Lord's name.
Mm-hmm.
You don't say the name. Wait, but. So that developed the mentality that I only say this name when I really, really, really need to.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? Because he told me to call on him first, all the time. Always remember him. So maybe the calling on me in vain is, don't say my name if you really don't know who I am.
Right.
If you don't know who I am, don't. Because when you say my name, I show up.
And you know what? That's the truth. And that's where we can go back to that religion and how it's been interpreted how you want to, and you're going to change it to where you want to. Because in vain don't necessarily mean that in vain you may put it in your mind. It could be that in vain of you calling me for no reason.
Exactly right. You call me and I showed up and you ain't even ready for me to show up. I'm upset. Don't call me like that. Because when you call me, I'm by action.
I'm understanding my dream, too, because I've been praying lately on something. And I think that's what, and I was praying on it, but I think the reality of the world, all he was saying was, just say my name. I got this.
Put it this way. Let's bring it down. Let's put it in the physical. We like the Halagoons, and we got killers, and we got all this and all that, some of us. You call those people when you bow. You don't call them and be like, oh, I thought I had a problem. You know what's about to happen.
Yeah.
It's done.
Oh, you know, I done went over that step. It's going down.
It's out of my hands.
Yeah.
Take his name the same way. Now, when I say it, if you really want me to get, it's out of my hands. I hope you're happy with the result.
Jesus.
Hey.
Jesus.
There you go. And I know who I'm calling when I say it. I know what I got to worry about nothing.
Sweetest name I know. I can hear my grandma saying it now. I understand.
No, there is nothing that can be thrown at you that can win. Unless you know how to use that name.
No. And now revisiting that and talking to the boys about it, I think really what he was just telling me, don't forget, I got you. Just call me. Call me. Let all the rest of that go. I mean, that's why I say I'm going through a transformation. But I'm okay with it. And in that, I'm not losing sight of who got me. Because I have flesh, just like Pastor Brooks said, it's going to be some bumps and bruises coming along with it. But I'm accepting it, and I'm going to keep moving forward, man.
Ladies and gentlemen, me personally, Corey, would like to take this opportunity to remind you. If you're listening to this right now, if ever we've told you that this is not about anything other than allowing you in on our conversation, our opinion. You are experiencing this in raw form. Right?
Mm-hmm.
We are just having a conversation based on what we took from a sermon. It's not to show anybody an intellectual capacity. It's not to tell anybody what they should be doing. It's not to tell you anything other than to allow you a front row seat into our transformation in our lives. That's what this is.
It really is. I'm just going to be quiet. That's what I'm doing because I'm sitting here, I'm deep in thought because it amazes me still to this day how good God is. It really does. It really amazes me. And I think that's what the pastor was pretty much pushing at. But I think I knew it. But you just figure, like, I don't know, man. I'm getting full over here. I'm getting full over here.
Don't stop.
I'm getting full over here because I'm going to tell you, God is good, man. God is so good, man. I'm sitting here with it's two gentlemen, but it's three of us. We've been together all my life, y'all. It's been times we grew up and we went our different ways. But to sit here today with y'all and we're going through this evolution with y'all, dog, God is good. God is good. God is good, man. I mean, listen, what you hear on air sometimes when you hear us disagreeing, it happens off air worse. But we still here together. It's the beauty in what's been done in our lives. I'm glad. I am totally glad that I'm being a part of his will. I am. I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful for it, man.
And, you know, on your point, Corey, a lot of times we sit here and we start talking, and, yeah, we know we tell y'all we have topics, but a lot of times we go off topic, and y'all don't even realize it. A lot of times we completely forget the mic is here. Mm-hmm. We just talking. And we just talking as like-minded people.
Mm-hmm.
Like-minded young men who may have grew up in similar situations but not the exact same situation. We didn't grow up in the same household.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we grew up in the same neighborhood. You know, we had similar upbringing. But for the most part, we're three different people with three different minds. And three different ways of thinking that just so happen to fall in line with one thing, that God
mm-hmm.
is first and foremost in our life, and he is leading us.
Mm-hmm.
We never, how long have we been doing this? A couple of months, few months? It seems like we've been doing it for a long time, but it really
January
ain't.
January 24th or 27th was the first
February
official
March,
show.
April. So about 3 months.
We feel like we've been doing this for a lot longer than that. Technically, we have.
Only thing that changed in January is that we decided to stick a mic in front of us.
And now we put all the technical stuff in.
We put all the tech, but we've been doing this for a long time. We've been having these conversations for a long time.
And I think that's what people may pick up on
when
they say, y'all been doing this for a long time. I'm thinking it's the radio guy. No, we've just been communicating this way for a long time.
Yeah.
So it seems as though. But yeah, man, I'm with you, though. I'm appreciative of this. I don't take our conversations lightly. I take, like I said to you on air, maybe off air, this is therapy for me. This is therapy for me because when I come from a genuine place in myself. I don't hide anything. I don't alter anything. If I feel like I ain't ready to put it out there, then I just don't talk about it at all. But if I mention it, then I'm telling you how I really feel about it or what has really happened. Because what would it benefit me to sit here and lie? It ain't going to do nothing but keep the same problems going on. And I don't want the problems. I feel like I'm at a place right now. I feel like all three of us are at a place individually and jointly to where we're about to see, or maybe we've already realized, there's a purpose for this year. I have something for y'all to do. I got something for Derek to do. I got something for BJ to do. I got something for Corey to do. But then I got something for all three of y'all to do together. And I think that's what we are. I'm sorry.
No, you're good, man.
Good.
You're good, man. You're definitely good.
Good, man.
You're definitely good. Whew. It's been a good show, man. It's really been a good show. It's been a good show. And the best part about it was that we really kind of let y'all in. And I want to keep saying this like we're doing y'all a favor, but a lot of times we try to make sure everything's in line so it'd be formatted good for you. Today we kind of just had a conversation. Well, and a lot of times it may seem like that anyway because, like Corey said, we've been doing this so long. This is what we do. And I'm going to tell you something. We didn't start doing this when we were grown. We used to be young boys, and we would just sit down and talk about things like this and this matter for hours if we were together. It was just good conversation and good hanging out. I mean, our paths was a little different back then, and we didn't have an understanding we have now. But it was always a conversation. It was always a conversation. So it's the basis of it, man. But it's also our basis of our love for the Lord. And that's all it's about. It's really all it's about.
Title of the show is Reflection. And reflecting on this entire day, not just, you know, the time we spent at Macedonia today, but reflecting on the entire day. You know. One more time, happy birthday, baby. Want to make sure I get that in without Dad helping me out this time. Happy birthday, baby. Love you. Going back to the in the know and laughing at that whatever his name is, stupidity. The devil. I'm going to say we're not answering no more calls from 666. I don't care who you are. You may have all the good intentions in the world, but we will no longer answer any calls starting with 666.
I told
you
like that.
You called it.
Me trying to, you know, that's always me trying to get everybody a chance. But, you know, that ends today. No more 666. What I'm trying to say is, sum up real quick, is that we've had every reason not to do the show today.
Yeah.
Not to talk about what we talked about today. But we wouldn't let nothing stop us. Now, if this didn't allow growth for anybody but us three, or even one of us three, if that was only the only growth that comes out of them, then I am happy. I'm satisfied. What was meant to happen has happened, and I can go to sleep happy tonight. Wonderful show. I'm done. That was my closing.
Hey, it don't take much for me, man. You know, I speak. But anyway, we'll see y'all on Wednesday or Sunday.
Wednesday. Yeah, we'll see you Wednesday. We'll be back Wednesday.
We'll be back Wednesday. I don't know. It might be more of this. It might be something a little lighter. Might be something totally off the wall. We don't know yet.
We don't know yet. You'll find out when we find out.
But enjoy the rest of your evening. And have a good week until we see you on Wednesday. Talk to you on Wednesday.
When you say amen, what does that signify, boy?
The truth.
So.
Agreement.
Agreement, and the pastor says, is amen, it means you just heard the truth. So I'm going to close the show out, and I'm going to say in unison, we're going to count to three, and we're all going to say, oh, amen, I'm going to go into the close. What's our thing about it?
Agreement. All right? Amen.
One, two, three.
Amen.
With that being said, lock your doors, open your hearts to the Lord. It's hard, but it's fair. One love, JWJ. TOAB.
Life, help my people say.